This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. All praises belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. We praise Him and we seek His assistance and guidance, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomsoever He misguides, then none can guide. And we send blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, our master and teacher, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I bear witness that there's no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His messenger. My dearest brothers and sisters and elders in Islam, salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings and safety from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all. Indeed, I began praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have a lot to be thankful for on a community level and on a personal level. For me, it's because of the gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be visiting you all in Ajax and to be sharing from the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the few moments that we have during this blessed and special day, the day of Jumu'ah, the best day in the week of a believer. And I begin today's presentation by taking you back to around 1450 years ago, around this time period, when a discussion happened between Al-Walid ibn Al-Mughira and Abu Jahl. A very important discussion took place between them. And this was because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who became a prophet with Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, and became a messenger with Ya ayyuhal muddathir qum fa anzir, he was doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him out to do. And he was being helped by Allah, and despite the pushback by the Quraysh, he was amazing in his abilities, and he was making small but sure wins. Islam was beginning to spread. The best from amongst the Quraysh were entering into Islam. We know about the early Islam of Abu Bakr, for example, radiallahu anhu. And this discussion between Al-Walid, the father of Khalid ibn Al-Walid, believe it or not, he and Abu Jahl, this discussion between them was in relation to the Quran that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was reciting and teaching. Now, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, he was from the most eloquent of the Arab poets. And at this time, the Arabic language was known to have reached a level of great proficiency. It never reached that level before. It was at its highest level of eloquence. Pride was with those who were poets and those who were specialists in Arabic prose. And Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, he was one of them. And he was tasked with the job of going to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and engaging him in discussion based on the Quran that he was reciting and teaching the Ummah, not just the Muslims, but also the non-Muslims, because the Qur'an was a means of da'wah from the outset, so the non-Muslims would hear this Qur'an as well. Abu Jahl was concerned. The people were concerned, because after Al-Walid came back from this discussion, he didn't seem to have the same attitude that he had before he went to engage Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in discussion. So Abu Jahl says to him that your people are gathering money for you. So Al-Walid says, why are they gathering money for me? Everyone knows I'm from the richest sons of the Quraysh. And this was true. Not only was he amazing in his Arabic prose and in his poetry, he was also amazing in his business acumen, and he was from the richest of the Quraysh. No one needed to give him money. If anything, he was the one who would be expected to give others money. So Abu Jahl says that they're raising money to buy your loyalty, because they feel that you are leaning towards the way of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Al-Walid, he ridiculed and he belittled the statement, but Abu Jahl was not convinced, and he said to Al-Walid that you have to say something against him, against this Quran, the topic of discussion between you and him, for us to believe that you are with us and not leaning towards him. And it was then that Walid said his famous words when he said, أَلَا إِنَّ الَّذِي يَقُولُهُ حَلَاوَةٌ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْهِ لَطَلَاوَةٌ وَإِنَّهُ لَمُثْمِرُ أَعْلَى مُغْدِقُ أَسْفَلِهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَيُحْطَمْ مَا تَحْتَ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَعْلُ وَلَا يُعْلَى عَلَيْهِ. He said famously that indeed what he says is only sweetness. It's only sweetness. This is the reality. إِنَّ لَهُ لَحَلَاوَةٌ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْهِ لَطَلَاوَةٌ. And upon what he says is great charm. That's the reality of the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of this Quran that he is reciting. And then he goes on to say, indeed, the top part of it is fruitful, and the bottom part of it is gushing with abundance and goodness. And indeed, it destroys anything under it. And indeed, it will rise and nothing will rise over it. Nothing of what we say will rise over it. You are speaking to a man who is known to be from the best of the Arabs in poetry and prose, and I am telling you this Quran that he's reciting, none of us can come up with anything that beats it. So Abu Jahl challenges him and says, this is not enough. We are asking from you a statement, and if anything, you are telling us something that's confirming the doubts we have about you. So Al-Walid asked for time. He said, let me be alone. Give me time alone. And Al-Walid had this famous confinement time, alone time in his home. No one knew he was there besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he famously paces, فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرْ فَقُتِلْ كَيْفَ قَدَّرْ ثُمَّ قُتِلْ كَيْفَ قَدَّرْ ثُمَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about his actions when he was alone, right? In his room, he's pacing. And Allah says, ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. Talking about Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, that leave me with the person who I created by myself. Then Allah mentioned some of the blessings that he gave him. وَجَعَلْتُ لَهُ مَالًا مَمْدُودًا. We gave him immense wealth. وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا. And we gave him amazing children. And we know Khalid ibn Walid was from the warriors of the Arabs, and he was from the children of Al-Walid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran. Al-Walid paces up and down, and he knows there's no way I can go out to the people and say this person is reciting to us poetry. So he reaches a conclusion that what he has come with is sorcery. He says, that's what we'll go with. That this is sorcery, and the magicians are benefiting him through magic. And Allah mentions this in the Quran. In hadha illa sihr yu'thar. Right? This is what he concluded. So this is a discussion and a reality that happened 1,000 or around 1,450 years ago. My dearest brothers and elders in Islam, with this introduction and with the story, I introduce to you this Quran. This Quran, the timeless miracle. The miracle of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This Quran that is filled with challenges to those who doubt it. And until today, no one has managed to meet that challenge. This Quran, which is the final testament. This Quran that Allah describes as An-Naba Al-Azim. An-Naba Al-Azim. The source of great information and great news. قُلْ هُوَ نَبَأُ الْعَظِيمُ عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah commands Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to his people that what you are speaking about is about the great revelation with great information, with great commands and great knowledge. And then Allah says in another instance, عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. What are these disbelievers asking between themselves? عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمُ. The reality is they are asking about the great revelation with great information. This Quran, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, there is nothing that it touches except that it makes it great. This is the reality of this Quran. It touched an angel, and that angel became the greatest angel, Jibreel alayhi salam. Then It was revealed in the Arabic language. It touched a language, and that language became the greatest language. And it reached a man, a messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that man became the greatest man. It touched a knight, and that knight became the greatest knight. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alf shahr, the night of decree and virtue and power, Laylatul Qadr, is better than 1,000 months. And we know that Allah says, Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr, that indeed we revealed this Quran during the night of power. This Quran touched a month, and that month became the greatest month, the month of Ramadan, Sayyidul Shuhur, Shahr Ramadan. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the greatest of all months is the month of Ramadan. And Allah says in his book, Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an, that the month of Ramadan is the month in which Allah revealed the Qur'an. This Qur'an, it was revealed in a city, and that city became the greatest city, Makkatul Mukarrama. This is the reality of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a book that when it touches an individual, he becomes a messenger, as is in the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's not that he was ever misguided, but we know that he was never upon complete guidance. And Allah tells us that from the blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is وَوَجَدَكَ ضَلًّا فَهَدَى. Some translated as, we found you misguided and we guided you. And this is an incorrect translation, because we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always guided upon his fitrah. He was guided upon his natural disposition. Allah had his heart washed when he was young, and those matters that could instigate misguidance was removed from him. So he was always upon guidance, but he didn't know how to worship Allah. He wasn't upon complete guidance. He didn't know about 2 units of Fajr, and 4 units of Dhuhr, and 4 units of Asr, and 3 units of Maghrib, and 4 units of Isha, or 2.5% of your financial assets that need to be given to the poor, and the month of Ramadan being a month of fasting, and the Hajj, and so on and so forth. He was guided, but not upon complete guidance. What brought this complete guidance was this Quran. This Quran, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, it turns boys into men. It turns boys into men. For in the example of Zayd ibn Thabit, a 13-year-old boy, he hears the call to Badr, and he takes himself and presents himself to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And this was no small call. Even the Jews of Medina and the hypocrites, they listen to the call that is being made by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they see the Muslims rushing around to get ready to go out, and they ridicule the Muslims. They ridicule Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say, Inna ha'ula gharra ha'ula'i deenuhum, that indeed their religion has deceived them. What do they want with the wealth of the Quraysh? What do they think they will do with the wealth of the Quraysh? No one dares goes close to that wealth. The wealth of the Quraysh is protected wealth by design. Everyone has an intrinsic fear when it comes to the caravans of the Quraysh. Even the desert bandits, they may steal from other caravans, but when they know that this is a convoy of the convoys of the Quraysh, they don't dare ever go close it. And these people are going out to catch that caravan and take that caravan. Indeed, their religion has deceived them. And here we have Zayd with this mighty call. At 13 years of age, he presents himself to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends him back because he is too young. He goes back home, not happy, but upset. Not normal, but upset. And his mother sees him upset and says, what's wrong, my son? He explains what happened. He says, I'm too young to be in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul. What do you think made a boy at this age behave in this way? What do you think created the paradigms that he had? His mother listens to him and takes him back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she explains the case of her son. And she says, O Messenger of Allah, indeed he is too young to be of any benefit to you with your current cause. But this son of mine, he speaks the Arabic language eloquently, and he reads and he writes eloquently. Use him in a way that is beneficial to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My son, O Messenger of Allah, he has memorized 17 surahs of the Quran. and he can read it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed it to you. This is the level of eloquence in his recitation. So use him in a way that is pleasing to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Zayd to go and learn Hebrew. Imagine, go and learn Hebrew. So Zayd goes and he comes back in 17 days speaking Hebrew eloquently. What has done this to these individuals? What has turned these boys into men? La ilaha illallah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends him to learn Syriac, and soon he becomes the official translator of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. The first official translator, an eloquent, knowledgeable translator, Zayd ibn Thabit. And that was not only his only, that wasn't his only benefit to Islam and the Muslims, for because of his excellence in writing and reading, he was from the main scribes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Quran was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to use Zayd amongst other scribes to write the Quran. And because of his excellence in memory retention and memorizing things, he was the one who was chosen to sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Jibreel alayhi salam during the final Ramadan of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when revision of the Quran happened twice between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Jibreel alayhi salam. He was honored to sit that sitting and listen to the final two revisions and understand what was the final version of the Quran and what was abrogated from the Quran. And thus Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu makes him the project manager of the compilation of the Quran during his reign. And then Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he standardized the copies of the Mus'haf, he again made Zayd ibn Thabit the project manager during that process. Then this Quran turns boys into men. This is the reality of the Quran, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam. This Quran turns those men into Sahaba and companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For we know that because of constant abuse and persecution of the Quraysh, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends the Muslims or a group of them to Abyssinia, and the Quraysh go after them over there. And when they request from An-Najashi, the just Christian king, to send the Muslims back, and Najashi requests an audience with them. And indeed the Muslims are nervous that how can we speak on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without permission? He is not here, he is far away. And after shura and consultation, they agree that it is a test from the test of Allah and something that needs to be done. And they appoint who? Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. Subhanallah, what gives Ja'far ibn Abi Talib the right to represent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another land? Indeed, it is the Quran. What gives him the guidance to say what he amazingly said? Indeed, it was the Quran. He stands in front of An-Najashi and he says, O king, indeed we were a people that worshipped idols and ate the meat of dead animals, and we stole the wealth of the orphans, and we usurped the rights of the weak, and we cut ties, and we were never good to our neighbors. And then came a man from us whose lineage was known, his trustworthiness was known, his honesty was known, and he told us to worship one Allah and leave the worship of idols. And he told us not to eat the meat of dead animals. He told us to support the rights of the weak and not to go near the wealth of the orphans. And he told us to maintain family relations and to be good to our neighbors. This was inspired speech by Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. And then he goes on to recite verses and ayat from Surah Maryam, because indeed his speech enticed An-Najashi. And An-Najashi passed away as a follower of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the reality of our Quran, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam. This timeless miracle, the final testament, the book of guidance, Hudan lil Muttaqeen. As Allah tells us in the Quran, it is a book of guidance for the believers. And in other parts of the Quran, Allah says, Hudan lil Nas. It is a book of guidance for all of mankind. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we should always have action points from our discussion. We should. No lecture should be void of action points, because a lecture is only a means to an end. It's not a form of entertainment. It's a means to an end. And the action point that we have to take from this particular presentation is that we sit down and have a one-on-one with ourselves. Have a thinking day with yourself and analyze your relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not saying it's bad, but we know as Muslims that no matter how good we are, there's always room for improvement. What is my relationship with the Quran in terms of my daily sitting with the Quran? What is my relationship with the Quran in terms of memorizing more than what I have memorized? What is my relationship with the Quran in terms of listening to the Quran? What is my relationship with the Quran in terms of pondering over the meanings of the ayat? Asking myself that Allah in this ayah has asked me to do something and has asked me to stay away from something. What is my position in relation to this command or this prohibition? Am I doing what Allah has said? I'm reading the ayah. Where am I from it? The ayah is teaching me ideals. What is the gap between me and those ideals? That's called the gap analysis, as some of us know it to be. What is the gap between me and those ideals? We need to have this thinking day to ask ourselves. Allah says the Quran is a cure. What is my relationship in terms of me using the Quran as a cure? For those who have people within their sphere of influence, what is your relationship with the Quran in terms of guiding those people within your sphere of influence? Are you raising your children upon the injunctions of the Quran? Are you raising them to love the Quran? When last did you remind them about their sitting with the Quran? When last did you analyze their relationship with the Quran? And not just your children, but your wives. And I'm sure your wives need to do this with their children, and so on and so forth. Whenever did we sit with our parents and run this analysis as well? As an action point, let's have this thinking day. Let's have this sit down, this sincere sit down with ourselves. Switch off the mobile phone, switch off social media, switch off all the distractions, and sincerely audit yourself with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, we were great, and indeed, we can be great. But the only way we can do that is if we return to that which the great people were upon, and they were upon this Quran and its injunctions. The first revelation was Iqra, which is a verb and a command, a call to action. Read, it's a call to action. Allah could have used a noun. He uses a verb in the command form, read. And the first thing we were told to read and learn about is Allah. For Allah says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Learn and know that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us run this analysis. And accordingly, brothers and sisters in Islam, after the gap analysis, let us run a root cause analysis. Try and understand why are we backwards in terms of our goals with regards to those ideals with the Quran. And after that, run your solutions analysis. Come with solutions to help you close the gap. If you need a teacher, find the teacher. If you need a Quran buddy, someone to read the Quran with, so you encourage each other to read the Quran, find a Quran buddy. This is progress in our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything correct said here is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and He's perfect, and any mistakes are from myself and shaytan, and I seek His forgiveness. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.